Good evening, everybody. Brian Newbert here from GoldenBlack.com, live in his car once again, driving back from another Purdue basketball game, this one being Purdue's 99-94, I believe the score was, overtime win over Tennessee in the Sweet 16 of the NCAA tournament at the KFC Yum Center, yum for emphasis, here in Louisville. Obviously, a monumental win for Purdue, advancing it to its first Elite Eight since the turn of the century back in 2000. This is your Golden Black Radio Express post-game podcast edition brought to you by Follett's Purdue Bookstores, Purdue Federal Credit Union, the 6th Street Dive Restaurant, First Source Bank, East End Grill, and the Charters Team Remax Ability Plus. Purdue is 40 minutes away from that elusive Final Four. Obviously, no small feat lying in front of it here with Virginia, the number one seed in the South region, standing between Purdue and the proverbial mountaintop here. But just the fact that Purdue is even in this position just makes a already remarkable season even more remarkable for Purdue. They just keep winning, keep finding ways to do things that you never thought possible this Purdue basketball season, this certainly being one of them. You know, this was a team that at one point in time wasn't even an NCAA tournament team. And here they are in the Elite Eight for the first time under Matt Painter. Surprising everyone, making themselves one of the stories of the college basketball postseason. And it's here for a lot of reasons, and not the least of which is the play of Carson Edwards, who I think is back, maybe you'd say, to playing like the first team All-American that he was named last season. I think last season and this season are very different frames of reference for him because everything is so different around him. His role is so different. But obviously, he is playing at a very high level right now. I think he is, he's making the best decisions of his season. And I think that's more important, than his shooting percentages, because I think the two go hand in hand and one tend to be better, when the other is as well. But I just think he's playing at a very high level right now. Obviously tonight was a, surreal shooting night, for Ryan Klein, who, I think has had a great year for Purdue and now has a signature highlight for that season because he was extraordinary in this game, obviously with 27 points, but also timely shooting. You know, this was a situation, as you know, I'm sure you watched the game. I don't know why you would be listening to this if you didn't watch the game. Purdue had an 18-point lead with 16 minutes to go, and it got away. I think it was Tennessee taking it away, but also I think it was foul trouble catching up to Purdue, because when Ryan Klein went out, that is what changed the game. When Klein picked up his fourth foul, incidentally on a four-point play that was a big part of a 21-5 Tennessee run, that changed the game. That swung things in Tennessee's favor, and when he came back in, Purdue was trailing, and I believe I might have that mixed up. But anyway, Purdue, obviously, the game changed in Tennessee's favor when Klein went out. When he came back in or thereabout, Purdue was trailing Tennessee, and Tennessee could never get it past three. And the reason they couldn't get it past three was because of Ryan Klein, who made 3 three-pointers all after Tennessee was up three to tie the game, to keep giving Purdue chances over and over and over again. And the longer Purdue hung around when Tennessee had all this momentum, the better the chance it had. And then sure enough, at the end of regulation, Purdue is able to get 2 free throws out of 3 from Carson Edwards, tie the game, force overtime, and dominate overtime. You know, there's some schools of thinking around college basketball that when a team has to spend so much of itself to get back in a game, it trailed by a wide margin. And when a team basically has a game won and then lets it get away at the end of regulation, those are two very hard things to overcome in overtime. And it certainly looked like it, because Tennessee wasn't making the shots it made when it got back in the game. Purdue was getting all the stops it didn't get when Tennessee got back in the game. And Purdue just looked like the energized team in overtime. And the ultimate result reflected it. Purdue dominated overtime. They didn't trail. They would have won by double digits had they been able to make 2 of 2 free throws at the foul line instead of 1 of 2 every time. This was a bizarre night at the foul line for both teams. Purdue shot sub 50% on 33 attempts. Tennessee shot exactly 50% on 28 attempts, I believe. So Tennessee would have had a huge advantage had it been able to make its free throws, because Purdue couldn't. And Purdue would have had a huge advantage had it been able to make its free throws, because Tennessee couldn't. Just a really weird night that way. But that was something Purdue overcame. The other thing Purdue overcame was foul trouble. Had Purdue lost this game, foul trouble would have been the singular reason why it lost this game. Admiral Schofield's hot shooting be damned. It would have been foul trouble, because the game changed, as I mentioned before, when Ryan Klein had to come out with four fouls. But I think also foul trouble prompted Purdue to change up its defensive matchups a little bit. They took Nojel Eastern off Admiral Schofield, whether that was really to protect him from fouls, as Matt Painter said after the game, or whether it was part that, or whether it was Purdue needing to stop the dribble, which it wasn't doing. So it moved its best perimeter defender onto more dribble-oriented players than Admiral Schofield. I don't know. I'm just saying. Both make sense. But Admiral Schofield got going. Purdue had its power forward guarding him in Grady Eifert. That's not the matchup Grady Eifert prepared for. That is not a matchup that is particularly kind to Grady Eifert profile-wise. And also, on a couple of those shots, it didn't matter who was guarding Admiral Schofield, because there was a shot he took from the top of the key from about 5 feet behind the three-point line that you could have had Ron Artest out there guarding him. He's making that shot. He just is. That was just a spell of shooting from Admiral Schofield that where he was just red hot, and it really didn't matter. This is college basketball. You know, they say that everybody makes a run, and, you know, this isn't atypical of Purdue's history in the NCAA tournament. You know, Purdue had a huge lead on Iowa State and Milwaukee a couple years ago. Purdue had a huge lead against Washington and Portland years prior to that. Both of those leads in some form or another got away. Purdue settled itself and won both of those games anyway. And that says nothing of the games Purdue didn't win, that it had healthy leads in. You know the games I'm talking about, obviously. Those seem like 100 years ago now, though, because Purdue is thriving in the NCAA tournament with a team that you never would have expected to be the one that thrives in the NCAA tournament. Purdue has reached its furthest level of the NCAA tournament with a team you would have least expected it to. And as I said before, this has been a simply a remarkable season for Purdue, and it just keeps getting more and more remarkable. This has been the proverbial team effort, so to speak, by Purdue. Obviously, Carson Edwards and Ryan Klein are the stars. Matt Harms is playing great. Nojel Eastern and Grady Eifert are elite role players that have made Purdue what it is, with the substance they bring to the floor, with the ultra valuable contributions they make that don't necessarily, you know, jump off the page at you in the box score. But Purdue's bench has been a huge part of this run as well. Travion Williams was great in the first half tonight. Aaron Wheeler has been great for the most part throughout the NCAA tournament. He's affected all three games for the better. I know there were some ups and downs against Villanova in the first half, but all three games so far in the NCAA tournament, he's made really important positive contributions. Eric Hunter obviously gave Purdue great minutes under the most bizarre circumstances possible against Old Dominion. Sasha Stefanovic made a three against Villanova in the first half. Seemed to play pretty good defense tonight. Needs to stop turning the ball over. Needs to curb that a little bit. But by and large, all of these guys are playing really well at the right time. And what that tells you is that's really good for now for Purdue, but also that's really good for later for Purdue, because you see a really nice team growing in behind this year's veterans that have gotten Purdue to this point. And that's a really encouraging sign for the future as well. But we're talking about the future right now, when the present is as exciting for Purdue as it's probably ever been. I mean, Purdue's got a championship already to show for the season. It's in the Elite Eight. It's gotten further than any team that's come before it in a generation. And at this point, it's all kind of found money. So we will see what happens Saturday night, late Saturday night, against number one seeded Virginia. I give Purdue a puncher's chance in this one, because I think the tempo will not be a bad thing for Purdue, and the way its guards are shooting the basketball right now, I wouldn't put anything past them. If Purdue wins this game, they're going to the Final Four, and that just sort of blows your mind. You kind of have to suspend disbelief a little bit to even say that with this team that as I said before, would be the last team you'd ever expect to be in that conversation. For them to have Purdue in this situation is simply remarkable. I don't really know how else to put it other than remarkable. So that's what I got from Purdue's 99-94 overtime win over Tennessee in Louisville at the KFC Yum Center. Remember, you got to say it with emphasis because there's an exclamation point to keep it brand specific. So you really got to pronounce it the right way. Yum. There's got to be some excitement in there, people. This has been your Golden Black Radio Express post-game podcast edition, and it's been brought to you once again by our exclamation point free branded sponsors, who we appreciate very much: Purdue Federal Credit Union, Follett's Purdue Bookstores, the 6th Street Dive Restaurant, First Source Bank, East End Grill, and the Charters Team Remax Ability Plus. Charters should have an exclamation point at the end of Charters, don't you think? That would make it so much better. Anyway, thanks everybody for listening, and we'll talk to you again Saturday night.